Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 7:19. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Dr. Carl is our Australian science communicator and popularizer. Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you, Dr. Howard.
Nice to speak to you again. So before we get started with some of the questions that we have, one of our listeners messaged to ask the following question. Anton L., thanks for doing this. Dr. Carl, a question for you, please. Multicolored toothpaste, such as Aquafresh, how does it work? There aren't separate bags inside the container. How do they stay separate, those colors?
Ah, the way you do that is with the help of your parents and a sharp knife called a Stanley knife or a box cutter knife, and then cut the toothpaste tube. You can do it on a fresh one if you can afford it, or you got one that's mostly used up. Cut it long ways, all the way from the tail down to where the cap screws on, and then peel it open. And then you'll find, up near where the screw cap goes on, you'll find a ring, usually of red material, with some sort of barrier. And so there might be four or five places where the red material can kiss up against the toothpaste. The toothpaste is a material which is flexible and it moves, but it also has relatively high friction. And as it moves, it'll, where there are the little gaps in that red ring near the top, it will drag some of the red material and put it on the outside of the toothpaste. It is claimed to have certain health benefits. Mainly, it's there just to look nice. Health benefits? Nah. Look nice? Yes.
That is very, very interesting. Australian scientists are part of a worldwide push to develop a COVID vaccine that will work against past variants of SARS-CoV-2 and any variants that will arise in the next couple of years. Tell us about this.
Well, the way it works with disease is that your body gets infected with a germ, we'll say a virus, and the SARS-CoV-2 virus is a moderate-sized virus. RNA viruses range from about 20 kilobases up to about 200, and this is about 30, so it's a smallish sort of virus. And then it attacks you, and your immune system recognizes it and then mounts a response against it, but it takes a couple of weeks to mount a full response. So what you do is you pick part of the virus and you say, oh, well, maybe this is what's needed, and you show it to your immune system, and your immune system spends 2 weeks making chemicals to fight it. And then when you get attacked by that virus, then your immune system kicks in, and instead of waiting 2 weeks to make the chemicals and cells to fight the bad guy, it does it immediately. In the case of measles, three doses of vaccine will protect you for life because the virus doesn't change. But the trouble with SARS-CoV-2, the COVID virus, is that it changes all the time. And what was really effective in last year's vaccine won't work against this year's infection. So there's a consortium of teams around the world who are trying to make a vaccine that shows your immune system a whole bunch of different parts of the virus, some of it being parts of the virus that don't change. And so even though the virus itself might change, only in bits, bits of the virus don't change. And if your immune system has been taught to recognize it, then in this case, you'll be able to fight current versions of the virus and the next couple of versions for the next couple of years. The virus has mutated. Firstly, it mutated to become more infective. So one person, instead of infecting two or three other people, suddenly would infect four or five or six or eight or even 12. And the second mutation that happened with Omicron, the second type of mutation that happened with Omicron, was that it evolved to become more invisible to your immune system. Luckily, we've got lots of scientists working on this around the world, and with a bit of luck, we'll start spreading it around the world. But the trouble is that most people in the world are not fully vaccinated. Only maybe two-thirds have got, or one-third have got full vaccinations up to date. 60% don't have even two shots. And unfortunately, Africa is that continent that has got one of the lowest rates of vaccination worldwide.
Absolutely. It's a very, very real problem. Can you stop a hurricane with enough fans. And we're not talking about fans of the morning mayhem, because they can do anything. I have no doubt about that. But fans that blow, can enough fans in theory stop a hurricane? Such a great question.
In theory, yes. Bearing in mind the unofficial motto of the American Air Force,
mm-hmm.
which is that with enough energy, a pig will fly. So how much power
right.
is there in all of the world's electrical systems put together? About 5 or 6 terawatts or trillion watts. 5 or 6.
Right.
How much power is there in your average hurricane? About 600 terawatts.
Wow.
But most of that power is in the heat being released when the water condenses. The amount of power in the wind is about 1/4 of the world's electrical generating capacity, about 1.25 terawatts. So theoretically, if you were able to use up 1/4 of the entire world's electrical generating capacity and have a whole bunch of fans and have it where the cyclone is working both down at ground level and up in the air mm-hmm. and have them fed with power, you'd need very long extension cables, and also hope that the cyclone or hurricane was having an even wind rather than gusts that would destroy them, it is theoretically possible that with 1/4 of the world's electrical capacity, you could bring the winds back to zero.
Absolutely amazing. Of course, this is just in theory, but these are wonderful things to think about. Finally, the featherless long neck of the ostrich acts like a radiator to keep the temperature of the head in the safe zone in the cold of winter. How does that work?
Well, you've got the radiator, you've got the feathers of the ostrich, which is the world's largest bird,
mm-hmm.
and the feathers are on the body. And then you don't have a huge amount of blood supply on the muscles on the legs because they're very skinny. But then you got this long, flexible neck without any feathers. And then you got the brain at the top end. And by looking at the three different, I didn't know this beforehand, there are three different types of ostriches in Africa in different sorts of climates. When you're looking at the three different types of ostriches in different climates, you find that the neck acts like a radiator, so when the bird is very hot, the blood supply to the skin will increase and it will get rid of lots of heat. But when it's cold, the skin will close its blood vessels and it will trap the heat inside. And we have seen this also in other creatures as well. So the ears of the elephant can have their blood supply change to either radiate or trap heat, as well as the extended bill, the toucan bird, that's about 40% of its length, and the featherless head patches of the zebra finch. They all work as active radiators, either to release heat or trap heat to regulate the temperature of the brain of the animal.
So, okay, so now we have another discussion for you, because we were talking a little bit earlier on the show about arguments that only boys have. You know, who will win, Batman, Superman? And then we got into an argument, Mukundi and I, Mukundi, you can turn your mic on, about who would win in a fight. What is it, Mukundi?
It was either a silverback gorilla.
A silverback gorilla.
Or a grizzly bear.
Or a grizzly bear. That's our question. Who's going to win in a fight? Solve this boy argument for us.
Too hard to tell. You'd have to actually do the experiment, which would count as kind of unethical to put the animals in danger of death purely for your own intellectual curiosity.
Boy curiosity.
And not leading to a better outcome for the human race, like designing an antibiotic or something like that. I think you'd need to do simulations. So firstly,
I don't want to see you and your friends, Mukundi.
Other,
I do not want to see that.
Look at individual animals fighting each other and then have them fighting each other with an AI running it. And that would be a perfectly wonderful way to firstly solve the problem and secondly get fabulously wealthy, because you could then make it a game and then get fabulously wealthy. And all that Howard and I ask is that every now and then you give us a cup of tea to celebrate becoming a billionaire from becoming so wealthy.
Absolutely. Dr. Carl, thank you as always. What a great discussion. We do this every Wednesday. We answer your burning science questions.